Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The moon hung high in the sky, casting a silver glow over the national park. The night was still, the air cool and crisp. I was on night patrol, a duty that fell to me once every few weeks. While many found the solitude and darkness unnerving, I had always enjoyed the tranquility of the park at night. It was a different world, one that seemed more alive with the sounds of nocturnal creatures and the rustle of leaves in the breeze. I started my patrol at the main entrance, driving my park vehicle along the winding roads that snaked through the forest. The headlights cut through the darkness, illuminating the path ahead. My job was to ensure that the park was secure, checking for any signs of trespassers or disturbances. The first half of the patrol was uneventful. I stopped at a few campsites, making sure everything was in order. Most of the campers were asleep, their tents and RVs silent under the moonlight. As I drove further into the park, the road narrowed, and the trees grew thicker, their branches forming a dark canopy overhead. I reached the farthest edge of the park, an area seldom visited by campers due to its remoteness. As I turned a corner, I noticed something strange. A faint light flickered deep within the woods, far off the beaten path. It was unusual for anyone to be out here, especially at this hour. Curiosity piqued, I parked the vehicle and grabbed my flashlight. The light flickered again, almost as if it were calling to me. I set off on foot, my boots crunching on the gravel path. The forest was eerily quiet, the only sound the distant hoot of an owl. As I ventured deeper into the woods, the light grew brighter. It was coming from an old, abandoned cabin, one that I had only heard about in passing. The cabin was a relic from the early days of the park, left to decay in the depths of the forest. The cabin stood in a small clearing, its wooden walls weathered and covered in ivy. The windows were dark, save for one that flickered with a faint light. I approached cautiously, my flashlight beam cutting through the darkness. The door creaked open at my touch, and I stepped inside. The interior was just as dilapidated as the exterior. Dust covered every surface, and cobwebs hung in the corners. The air was musty, filled with the scent of decay. I swept my flashlight around the room, and that's when I saw it, a lantern hanging from a hook in the ceiling, its flame flickering weakly. As I approached the lantern, I heard it, a soft, haunting melody. It was a lullaby, the kind you might sing to a child to soothe them to sleep. The sound was faint, almost as if it were coming from the walls themselves. My heart began to pound, and I felt a chill run down my spine. "Hello?" I called out, my voice trembling. There was no response. The melody continued, growing slightly louder. I turned around, shining my flashlight into the shadows, but saw nothing. Fear began to take hold. I had heard stories about the cabin, tales of it being haunted by the spirits of those who had once lived there. I had always dismissed them as mere legends, but now, standing in the middle of the cabin with that eerie melody filling the air, I wasn't so sure. I decided it was time to leave. I turned to head back to the door, but something caught my eye, a figure standing just outside the window, barely visible in the moonlight. My breath caught in my throat, and I froze. The figure was indistinct. It didn't move, just stood there, watching me. I felt a surge of panic and quickly made my way to the door, my flashlight beam shaking in my trembling hand. As I stepped outside, the figure was gone. I hurried back to my vehicle, my heart racing. The forest seemed to close in around me, the shadows deeper and more menacing than before. I felt as if I were being watched, as if the figure were following me. Back in the safety of my vehicle, I took a moment to catch my breath. The eerie melody still echoed in my mind, and I couldn't shake the feeling of being watched. I radioed into the ranger station, reporting what I had seen. "Probably just some kids messing around," my colleague, Sam, said over the radio. "But I'll send someone to check it out in the morning." I nodded, though I knew Sam couldn't see me. "Thanks, Sam," I said, trying to sound calm. I continued my patrol, but the sense of unease lingered. Every rustle of leaves seemed a potential danger. I kept glancing in the rearview mirror, half expecting to see the figure standing on the road behind me. As I reached the final stretch of my patrol, I saw it again, the faint light flickering in the distance. This time, it was moving, weaving through the trees like a ghostly lantern. I stopped the vehicle and watched, my heart pounding. The light moved closer, and I realized it wasn't a lantern at all. It was a person, holding a flashlight. Relief washed over me, and I stepped out of the vehicle, calling out to them. "Hey! Are you okay?" I shouted. The person stopped, and for a moment, there was silence. Then, they turned and ran, disappearing into the forest. I hesitated, torn between following them and returning to the safety of the vehicle. Deciding not to take any chances, I got back in the vehicle and drove back to the ranger station. My mind raced with questions. Who was the person in the forest? Why were they running? And what was the haunting melody I had heard in the cabin? Back at the station, I filed my report and tried to calm my nerves. Sam listened, his expression serious. "We'll check it out in the morning," he said. "In the meantime, try to get some rest." But rest didn't come easily. The memory of the figure and the haunting melody haunted my dreams. I couldn't shake the feeling that there was something more to the story, something that I couldn't explain. The next day, Sam and a few other rangers went to the cabin. They found the lantern and the cabin just as I had described, but there was no sign of the person I had seen or the source of the melody. In the weeks that followed, I continued my patrols, but I was always on edge, always looking over my shoulder. The park now felt menacing and filled with unseen threats.
If you're enjoying it so far, make sure you hit that subscribe button.
The dense forest of the national park was my second home. As a park ranger, I spent countless hours patrolling the trails, ensuring they were safe for visitors and keeping an eye on the wildlife. It was a peaceful job, and I loved the solitude and beauty of the forest. However, one summer afternoon, I experienced something that shattered the tranquility I had always associated with the park. I had set out on a routine patrol, the sun filtering through the thick canopy above, casting dappled shadows on the forest floor. The air was filled with the earthy scent of pine and the soft sounds of rustling leaves and distant bird calls. I walked along a narrow path, taking in the serenity of my surroundings. As I ventured deeper into the forest, I noticed something odd. The usual sounds of the forest seemed to fade, replaced by an eerie silence. I felt a shiver run down my spine, but I brushed it off as my imagination. I continued my patrol, checking the trail markers and noting any maintenance needed. It was as I was marking down a note about a fallen tree that I saw it, movement out of the corner of my eye. I turned quickly, but there was nothing there, just the dense underbrush. Shrugging off the uneasy feeling, I pressed on. The silence was unsettling, and I found myself constantly glancing over my shoulder. The sun had dipped lower in the sky, casting long shadows that seemed to move and shift with each step I took. I reached a small clearing and decided to take a break. Sitting on a fallen log, I pulled out my water bottle and took a long drink, trying to shake off the growing sense of unease. That's when I saw it again, a figure standing at the edge of the clearing, half hidden by the trees. The figure was indistinct, shrouded in shadows. I could make out a tall, human-like shape, but its features were obscured. My heart skipped a beat, and I stood up, squinting to get a better look. The figure didn't move. It just stood there, watching me. "Hello?" I called out, my voice sounding small and uncertain. There was no response. I took a hesitant step forward, but the figure remained still. A cold chill settled over me, and I felt an overwhelming urge to leave the clearing. I backed away slowly, my eyes never leaving the figure. As soon as I reached the edge of the clearing, I turned and hurried down the trail. Who, or what, had I seen? Why were they just standing there? I quickened my pace, the forest growing darker with each passing minute. The shadows seemed to close in around me, and I felt a growing sense of dread. Every rustle of leaves, every snap of a twig made me jump. I kept glancing over my shoulder, half expecting to see the figure following me. As I rounded a bend in the trail, I saw the figure again. This time, it was closer, standing in the middle of the path. My heart pounded in my chest, and I froze, my breath catching in my throat. The figure was still shrouded in darkness, its features impossible to make out. "Who are you?" I demanded, my voice trembling. The figure remained silent. I took a step back, my mind screaming at me to run, but my legs didn't respond. The figure took a step towards me, and I felt a wave of fear wash over me. I turned and ran, my heart pounding in my ears. The forest seemed to blur around me as I sprinted down the trail, not daring to look back. I reached a small ranger station near the edge of the park. I burst through the door, gasping for breath, and slammed it shut behind me. My colleague, Mark, looked up from his desk, his eyes widening in surprise. "What's wrong?" he asked, standing up. "There's someone in the forest," I panted, my hands shaking. "A figure. It was following me." Mark's expression grew serious, and he grabbed his flashlight. "Let's go check it out," he said. I hesitated, the fear still fresh in my mind, but I nodded and followed him back into the forest. We walked back along the trail, Mark's flashlight cutting through the darkness. I stuck close to him, my nerves on edge. The forest was eerily quiet, and every shadow seemed to hold a hidden threat. When we reached the clearing, the figure was gone. We searched the area, but there was no sign of anyone. "Are you sure you saw someone?" Mark asked, his voice skeptical. "I know what I saw," I insisted, though my confidence wavered. The figure had been so real, so menacing. But now, in the cold light of Mark's flashlight, the forest seemed empty and harmless. Over the next few days, I couldn't shake the memory of the figure. I found myself avoiding that part of the forest, the fear of encountering it again too strong. My colleagues teased me, saying I'd just imagined it, but I knew what I had seen. One evening, I returned to the trail, determined to prove to myself that there was nothing to be afraid of. The forest was quiet as I walked. As I reached the clearing, I felt the same sense of unease. The figure was there again, standing at the edge of the trees. This time, I didn't run. I took a deep breath and walked towards it, my heart pounding. As I approached, the figure seemed to fade into the shadows. I reached the spot where it had been standing, but there was no sign of anyone. The air was cold, and the silence was oppressive. I stood there for a moment, my fear giving way to frustration. What was going on? Why was this figure haunting me? I turned to leave, and that's when I heard it, a soft whisper, like a breath on the wind. I didn't wait to hear more. I ran back down the trail, my heart racing. When I reached the ranger station, I collapsed into a chair, my mind reeling. The figure was real, but what did it want? Why was it following me? In the days that followed, I tried to find answers. I looked through old records, trying to uncover any history of the area that might explain the figure. I found nothing concrete, just old stories and legends about the forest being haunted. I continued my patrols, but I was always on edge, always looking over my shoulder. I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. I still love my job, but I approach the forest with a newfound respect and caution. There are things out there that we don't understand, things that defy explanation. Be careful when you venture into the woods.
If you're enjoying it so far, make sure you hit that subscribe button.
The summer night was clear, the stars twinkling above like a thousand tiny lanterns. The park was beautiful this time of year, and the lake's surface mirrored the night sky, creating an illusion of infinite stars. I had been on duty as a park ranger for several years, and nights like these were what I loved most about my job. The air was cool and fresh, filled with the sound of crickets and the occasional splash of a fish breaking the surface of the water. It was around 9 p.m. when I received a call from a panicked family camped near the lake. Their young son, Tommy, had wandered off and hadn't returned. The parents were frantic, their voices trembling with fear. I assured them I'd be there right away and grabbed my flashlight and radio, heading out to the campsite. When I arrived, the parents, John and Mary, rushed up to me. He was playing by the water, and we turned away for just a moment, John explained, his voice tight with worry. When we looked back, he was gone. I nodded, trying to keep them calm. "We'll find him," I said, though the growing darkness made the task daunting. I called for backup on my radio, knowing we'd need more eyes to search the vast area. We started at the lake's edge, where Tommy was last seen. The beam of my flashlight cut through the darkness, revealing only the still water and the dense forest beyond. The family's campsite was peaceful, with a fire crackling softly and a tent pitched nearby, but the air was thick with tension. As we moved deeper into the woods, I noticed the usual sounds of the night seemed muted. The forest, normally alive with nocturnal creatures, was eerily quiet. It was as if the whole park was holding its breath, waiting. We called Tommy's name repeatedly, our voices echoing through the trees. After about 15 minutes, we heard a rustling in the underbrush. "Tommy?" Mary called out, hope rising in her voice. But it wasn't Tommy. A deer darted out of the bushes, its eyes wide with fear, before disappearing into the night. The false alarm heightened our anxiety, and I could see the fear growing in John and Mary's eyes. An hour passed with no sign of Tommy. More rangers had joined the search, their flashlights crisscrossing the forest in a coordinated effort. We split into smaller groups to cover more ground, each of us armed with a flashlight and a radio. I paired with John, while Mary stayed with another ranger. As we moved deeper into the forest, the trees grew thicker, their branches forming an almost impenetrable canopy overhead. The darkness seemed to close in around us, and I felt a growing sense of unease. We were about a mile from the campsite when we spotted something in the distance, a faint, flickering light. My heart leaped with hope. "That could be him," I said, urging John forward. As we approached, I realized the light wasn't coming from a flashlight. It was a mirror, hanging from a low branch. I frowned, puzzled. The park didn't have any mirrors like this, and it seemed out of place. John and I exchanged a glance, and I could see the confusion mirrored in his eyes. "Tommy?" I called out, but there was no response. The mirror swayed gently in the breeze, reflecting our flashlight and casting eerie shadows on the ground. Suddenly, we heard it, a soft, childlike giggle. My blood ran cold, and I saw John's face go pale. "Tommy," he called out again, his voice trembling. We moved toward the sound, my flashlight beam dancing over the trees. The giggling continued, leading us deeper into the forest. My sense of unease grew with each step, the darkness pressing in on us from all sides. We reached a small clearing, and there, sitting on a log, was Tommy. Relief washed over me, but it was quickly replaced by a feeling of dread. Tommy was staring into the darkness, a vacant look in his eyes. "Tommy!" John rushed forward, scooping his son into his arms. But Tommy didn't react. He just stared blankly ahead, his eyes wide and unseeing. "Are you okay?" I asked, kneeling down to look at him. Tommy blinked slowly, as if coming out of a trance. "The man in the woods," he whispered, his voice barely audible. My heart skipped a beat. "What man?" I asked, trying to keep my voice steady. Tommy pointed into the darkness. He said he wanted to show me something. I shone my flashlight in the direction Tommy had pointed, but there was nothing there. The forest was still and silent, the darkness impenetrable. John held Tommy tightly, his eyes filled with fear. "We need to get back to the campsite," I said, my voice firm. "Now." We hurried back through the forest, my flashlight leading the way. The sense of being watched was overwhelming, and I could feel eyes on us from the shadows. Every rustle of leaves, every snap of a twig sent a jolt of fear through me. When we finally reached the campsite, I radioed the other rangers, informing them that we had found Tommy. Relief spread through the group, but the sense of unease lingered. As we gathered around the campfire, Tommy seemed to come back to himself, the blank look fading from his eyes. He clung to his father, his small body trembling. "He said he would come back," Tommy whispered.
"Who?"
Mary asked, her voice shaking. "The man in the woods," Tommy replied, his voice barely audible. "He said he would come back for me." We spent the rest of the night at the campsite, keeping a close watch on Tommy and the surrounding forest. The parents didn't want to leave until morning, and I understood their fear. The rangers took turns keeping watch, the fire casting long shadows as we waited for dawn. As the first light of morning broke through the trees, the forest seemed to breathe a sigh of relief. The sense of being watched faded, replaced by the normal sounds of the park waking up. We escorted the family back to their car, and they left the park, grateful but shaken. Tommy was safe, but the memory of that night would stay with them, and me, for a long time. In the days that followed, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was still out there, watching from the shadows. The story of the man in the woods haunted my thoughts, and I found myself avoiding the area where we had found Tommy. The fear in Tommy's eyes was real, and the memory of his vacant stare stayed with me.
If you're enjoying it so far, make sure you hit that subscribe button.
The sun was starting to dip below the horizon, casting long shadows across the park. I had been a park ranger for a few years, tasked with maintaining the historical sites within the park. One of my regular duties was to check on the old cemetery, a place long forgotten by most visitors. The cemetery, established in the late 1800s, was a relic of a bygone era, overgrown with weeds and surrounded by ancient trees whose gnarled branches seemed to reach out like skeletal hands. As I walked down the narrow path leading to the cemetery, the crunch of gravel under my boots was the only sound in the otherwise silent evening. The air was thick with the smell of damp earth and decaying leaves. The trees formed a dense canopy overhead, blocking out much of the fading light and casting the area in an eerie twilight. The cemetery came into view, a collection of weathered headstones and crumbling mausoleums. Many of the graves were unmarked, their inscriptions worn away by time and the elements. I had always found the cemetery to be a peaceful place, despite its dilapidated state. It was a quiet reminder of the park's history and the people who had once lived there. As part of my routine, I walked among the graves, checking for any signs of vandalism or damage. The headstones, some leaning precariously, bore the names of the long deceased, their dates of birth and death barely legible. The setting sun cast long, eerie shadows across the ground, and a cool breeze rustled the leaves, making the trees seem to whisper secrets of the past. As I made my way to the center of the cemetery, I noticed something out of place. Fresh flowers had been placed on several graves, their vibrant colors standing out against the drab surroundings. This was unusual, as the cemetery rarely received visitors. I hadn't seen anyone enter or leave the area all day. I felt a chill run down my spine. Who could have left these? I muttered to myself. I looked around, but there was no one in sight. The park was nearly empty, with most visitors having left before dusk. Shrugging off my unease, I continued my inspection. As I moved through the cemetery, the shadows seemed to grow longer, and the air grew colder. The sun had almost set, and the encroaching darkness made the cemetery even more foreboding. I was about to head back to the ranger station when I heard it, a soft whisper, almost too faint to catch. I stopped in my tracks, straining to listen. The whisper came again, a barely audible murmur carried on the breeze. "Who's there?" I called out, my voice echoing through the silent cemetery. There was no response. My heart began to pound, and I felt a growing sense of unease. I scanned the area, my eyes adjusting to the dim light. And then, I saw it, a shadowy figure standing among the trees at the edge of the cemetery. The figure was indistinct, shrouded in darkness, but it was definitely watching me. I felt a surge of fear. "Hello?" I called out, trying to keep my voice steady. The figure didn't move or respond. It simply stood there, watching. I took a hesitant step forward, my flashlight casting a weak beam of light that barely penetrated the gloom. The figure remained still, its presence unnerving. As I approached, the figure seemed to fade into the shadows, becoming one with the trees. I reached the spot where it had been standing, but there was no sign of anyone. The air was still, and the only sound was the rustling of leaves. My mind raced with possibilities. Had I imagined it? Was it a trick of the fading light? Or was there someone, or something, truly there? I decided it was time to leave. The cemetery, once a place of peaceful reflection, now felt oppressive and menacing. I turned and walked briskly back towards the entrance, my nerves on edge. As I reached the gate, I felt a cold breeze sweep through the cemetery, chilling me to the bone. I turned back one last time, and my breath caught in my throat. The shadowy figure was back, standing closer this time, just a few yards away. Its features were still obscured, but I could sense its eyes on me, piercing through the darkness. My fear turned to panic, and I hurried through the gate, nearly tripping over the uneven ground. I didn't stop running until I reached my truck. I jumped in and locked the doors, my hands trembling as I started the engine. The headlights illuminated the path ahead, and I sped away from the cemetery, not daring to look back. Back at the ranger station, I tried to calm myself. I told a few of my colleagues about what I had seen, but they were skeptical. "Probably just your imagination," one of them said. "That old cemetery can play tricks on you." But I knew what I had seen. It was real. I avoided the cemetery for the next few weeks, unable to shake the memory of that night. Eventually, I returned to the cemetery during daylight hours, determined to face my fear. The fresh flowers were still there, but there was no sign of the shadowy figure. The cemetery was peaceful again, but the memory of that encounter lingered. I still feel uneasy whenever I visit the old cemetery. The experience left me with a lingering sense of dread. If you enjoyed this video, make sure to subscribe to our channel and hit the like button for more terrifying tales. Don't miss our next video, Scary Night Shift Horror Stories Volume 2, where we uncover eerie and unsettling experiences from people working the night shift. These stories will make you think twice about working late at night. See you in the next video.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.